Bryce says there were three people for whom the sun delayed its setting, for Moshe, Yeshua, and Akdim Ben Goyen. So we just learned the story of Akdimon, and the story of Yeshua is told in the Pesukim, but where do we find that the sun did so for Moshe? So Elaza said there's a Gzeir Shava on the word Ochel from Moshe to Yeshua, which teaches that just as by Yeshua it refers to Hashem holding the sun from setting, by Moshe it refers to this as well. Shulman Achmeni says the Gzeir Shava is on the word Teis. Rabbi Yechanan said Hashem said to Moshe in the Pesuk, all will be fearful and tremble from you. That refers when Hashem delayed the sun from setting for the sake of Moshe. Misha said, "V'chein ir shelo yardu ala gusham v'chulah." Rabbi Yehuda named Rav said the pasuk means that both cities will be cursed. The city with no rain will have a drought, and the city with rain will have torrential floods. A pasuk says, "Yerushalayim has become like a nida among them," meaning it was destroyed. Rabbi Yehuda named Rav said the pasuk is actually a blessing, because just like a nida will eventually become tahar, so too Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. Pasuk says Yerushalayim will be like an almona. Rabbi Yehuda said this too is a blessing. The pasuk says she'll be like an almona, but not an actual almona, meaning she'll be more like a woman whose husband traveled far away, but who will eventually return. The pasuk says Hashem says, "I have made you hated and low in Golus." Rabbi Yehuda says this is a blessing because the Goyim will never appoint Yidden as tax collector or as policemen, both of whom are hated by the people. Pasuk says that Hashem will hit the Yidden like a reed that sways in the water. Rabbi Yehuda Nimrav said this is also a bracha. We can see this from Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeini in the name of Yonison says, he said that the curse of a tzaddik, meaning referring to the curse of Chiyah Shiloini, is better than the bracha of a rasha, meaning the bracha of Bilam. Because Chiyah Shiloini cursed us with the pasuk of the reeds that said above, that compared the Yidden to reeds. Now, just like a reed is in a place of all it needs to grow, it is a place of water. And it regrows when it's cut and has many roots and withstands all the fierce winds by swaying and then stands upright when the winds are gone, the Yidden will also have all these characteristics as well. However, Bilam gave us a bracha like a cedar tree, that we should be like a cedar tree, which does not stand in water, which does not regrow, does not have any roots, does not have many roots, which does not sway in the wind, but gets uprooted and toppled by a fierce wind. He was hoping that the Yidden will have these characteristics as well. In addition, the reed is special in that it's used to write the Sifrei Tanakh. Versus a braisa says, a person should always be soft like a reed and not hard like a cedar. Once happened, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon was traveling from having learned Torah and met an exceedingly ugly person. He said to him, "You're so ugly. Are all the people of your city as ugly as you?" The man responded, "I don't know. We should go ask my creator," meaning Hashem, "how ugly am I? To go tell him how ugly I am." Rabbi Elazar realized what he had done and began to beg the man for forgiveness. The man refused. He followed the man all the way to his city. The people of the city came out to greet Rabbi Elazar using the title of Rebbe, Rebbe, Meir, Meir. The man told them, "This is your Rebbe? There should be no more like him among Klal Yisrael." He then relayed the story that took place. The people said, "Listen, he's still a great person in Torah, so forgive him." The man said, "I will do so in your merit as long as he does not continue to act in this way." Immediately, Rabbi Elazar went to the Beis Medrash and darshan that a person should always be soft like a reed and not hard like a cedar. And that's why the reed merited to be used for writing the Torah, the Tefillin, and the Mezuzahs. Bryce says, when the Mishnah discusses collapsing buildings, it refers to strong buildings, not weak ones, buildings that are not supposed to collapse, not ones that are supposed to collapse. Vekma, aren't strong buildings the same thing as buildings that are not supposed to collapse, and weak buildings the same thing as buildings that are supposed to collapse? And Vekma, the second part of the Braisa refers to buildings that are strong but are very tall and are therefore more prone to collapse due to their height. It may also refer to strong buildings built on a riverbank. There, too, the river weakens the foundation and makes them more prone to collapse. We also find buildings and walls that are weak but are not prone to collapse. The Gemara brings the story where Avada bar Ahava would walk under a weak wall and there was no fear of it collapsing when he would do so. The Gemara says Rav Huna once had wine in a building was at risk of collapse. He brought Avada bar Ahava into the building without his realization and had the wine removed as he kept them there. As soon as the wine was removed, he took him out and the building collapsed. Avada bar Ahava realized what had just taken place and was upset because he held a kabyanai that one should not do something that requires a nace because maybe the nace won't be done. And even if a nace is done, it takes away from a person's zechusim. What made Avada bar Ahava so great that we see he was that great he didn't from these stories? Where I said we find that when asked why he lived so long, he once told his Hamidim, "I've never become angry in my house. I never walked in front of someone who was greater than me. I never thought about Torah in dirty alleys. And I never walked 4 hours without learning Torah and wearing tefillin. Also, I never slept in Beis Medrash even for a nap. I was never happy with the downfall of my friend. And I never called a person by his nickname." Rava asked Rav from Marpapa to tell him some of the greatness of Rav Huna. He said, "I don't remember from his younger years, but I can tell you of his older years. On every cloudy day, they would carry him out on a golden chair and he would inspect all the walls of the city. If one was at risk of collapse from the impending storm, he would have it taken down. If the owner had the means to rebuild it himself, he would have him do it. But if not, Rav Huna would build it from his own money. Every Friday, he would send messengers to the market to buy all of the old and sold vegetables before Shabbos and would have them thrown into the river. Frankly, why didn't he just give it to the poor people?" Mar says, "He didn't want them to rely on this supply because some weeks there would be no leftovers from the buying to give them. So Frank Mar, why didn't he give it to animals? Because he held that you're not allowed to give human food fit the food that's fit for human consumption. He held you're not allowed to give it to animals. Frank Mar said, why do you buy them all together? Mar says this was to ensure that the sellers would always come back to be willing to bring an ample supply to the market. Gemara continues with the attributes of Rav Huna. We said when he would get hold of a medicine that was not available to people, he would fill a bottle with it and hang it on his door, letting everyone know to come and take. Others say that he was versed in the ways of the shifta shade, and he would therefore hang water on his door for people to use to wash their hands before eating, which protects someone from this shade. Mara says when he would sit down to eat, he would open his door and announce whoever is in need of food, come and eat. Rava said, I can do all those things that Rav Huna did except this last one because there are too many poor people in Mechuzah, and I wouldn't be able to feed them all.